I'm wondering if you could do something for this homeless man. So he said, yeah, sure. Joe was doing mainly music and I was on top of the admin doing all that stuff. I said, yeah, no worries. I took a guy named Lawrence who's helping out at our Doorways program, and we went off down to Craigieburn Plaza. And I was told that he was at the bakery, so he'd been at the bakery, so, you know, I always like to go to the bakery. So we headed off to Baker's Delight, and I said to the guy behind the counter, is there a homeless man around? He said, oh, yeah, there's been a guy with a doona, and he's kind of headed that way. So we headed down, towards La Paqueta's from Baker's Delight, if you're local. And we headed towards La Paqueta's, and we got to another bakery. Realised we were at the wrong bakery, but we got to another bakery where the lady said, oh yeah, I just spoke to a homeless man and I gave him some food and I said to him, if you needed a shower, maybe you should go to the swim centre down the road. So we said, thank you very much for that. Thanks for your generosity to this man. We're going to go to the swim centre. So we went to the swim centre. We got to the swim centre and the guy was having a shower for the last hour or so in the swim centre. So we chatted over the thing, said, hey, mate, do you need any help, support or whatever? I won't tell you what he said to us, but then we sort of walked away. We said, said to the centre management, how about we go back here, grab some food, grab a fresh doona and these sorts of things, and then we'll bring it back to him. We got some clothes from the thrift shop, and off we went. Grab a blanket from the shop as well. And we went back to the swim centre. He had left the swim centre, and he said he'd gone back that way. So we went back that way. We jumped in the car, went back to Craigieburn Plaza, back to the bakery. Oh, smelled good. And all of a sudden, we saw the guy down the road, and the police were there. So we went to the police, and I said, have you seen this homeless man? And the police said, oh, he's actually gone that way. And I gave him a business card, and then we went that way. And we went towards La Paqueta's, and then the sirens went off in Craigieburn Plaza, and there was a fire in one of the places, and there was like five fire engines came to Craigieburn Plaza. We got there, and I saw the real estate agent who had given us the place for the thrift shop. I said, hi, mate, how you going? Just helping a homeless man, can't stay at the moment. And then some lady came with a little carry thing with a cat with no ears. It had cancer, and she couldn't move her car because the fire engine had blocked it in. Said, I really need to get a hold of a vet in Faulkner. And I said, oh, well, here, you borrow my phone. And then the baker lady, she said, I've got to chase after this homeless guy. And so she ran that way, and so she was borrowing my phone. And then the real estate guy wanted to continue chatting. And then I saw another bloke who had come to church last week. He was coming past. Hey, mate, can I borrow $2? Sorry, I'm busy at the moment. We finally got back to the bakery, and this man didn't want our help. He went off, and he went off with his dirty doona. We had a fresh doona, but he didn't want it. And then I was in the bakery speaking to a man from the RSL, who heads up the RSL as well, when we were chatting. And then the bakery gave us free lunch. So I guess we were rewarded for running around trying to be a blessing to someone. There's people in need in our community, yeah? And I just want to look briefly at Luke chapter 4, which speaks of what Luke wants to record as really important to be the start of the ministry of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, let me read some things, and you can find it and catch up while you're looking for it. Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He then went to Nazareth. Nazareth was where he grew up, yeah? He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Well, thanks, scriptures, for that. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up and he read. And he read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And as was custom in those days, he sat down and he began to teach. And all the eyes were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him. At this point, they loved it. This was inspiring stuff from Jesus. Then he kept going. He said, surely you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard you do in Capernaum. I tell you the truth, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel, right, in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in a place called Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy at the time of Elisha the prophet, yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. And how did people react to this? Jesus was effectively saying to them that this message about freedom and this message about healing is not just for the people of Israel. It's actually for a wider people. It's actually for all people. And Jesus sat there and he taught them these things. And how did they react? Were they excited about the words of Jesus at this point? It says in verse 28 of Luke 4, all the people, not just a few, but all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. And they got up and they drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd, as Jesus does, and he went on his way. So Jesus was telling them, you know what? This message about freedom is not just for you, not just for the Israelite people, but it's for all people. How does that relate today? Let me tell you something. The message of Jesus is not just for white Anglo-Saxon people who live in Australia, yeah? Well, you start making some noise if you want, yeah? This message about Jesus is not just for a select few. And sometimes you think in your culture that you are the one and only culture. There are so many cultures around this area. And I was collecting, as we were collecting yesterday, Scott and I both had, it's like a revelation. And you had the same thing, didn't you? Let me explain. I could not believe how many Muslim women were giving generously at the intersections. I could not believe it. Now, you can say what you want about whatever you believe and whatever. There was generosity coming from the women who were Muslims giving at those intersections. And all of a sudden, I felt in my... It was like God was saying something. Hey, Pete, do you realize these people are made in my image? Clear as a bell. Can't you see it? And there was one lady had just had a twinkle in her eye, you know? Just, you know, like on the cartoons where it just goes, twink, you know? There was a twinkle in this lady's eye and she says, the Selvos once helped me and so I want to give back. And I thought, I was really challenged by this, that this message of freedom, freedom from oppression, the good news to the poor, is not just for a privileged few. It's not just for white Australia. It's for all the cultures, all the demographics across our land. Praise the Lord. And I wonder whether such a message infuriates some Christians. Because let me tell you, when the full ministry of Jesus happens, where this freedom from oppression happens in all cultures and all people are coming together from all different walks of life, dare I say all different sexualities, people coming together as the kingdom of God, when that happens, I wonder whether there's going to be some Christians that go, wow, I'm not happy with that, because that's really, church is for me. Gone quiet now. I wonder whether there's some that would be furious. Yet the fact is, Jesus came and he said, as recorded in Luke, I've actually come to bring oppression, bring freedom from oppression to all people. Let me correct that, yeah? Yeah, thanks, Joe. I've come to do that for the widow over in Zarephath. I've come to do that not just for you in Nazareth. I've come to do it for all people. And Jesus has come to bring that ministry of reconciliation to all people. So I thank the Lord for the opportunity that we've had to be out and about over Full day yesterday, over at Bunnings last weekend, and been at Craigieburn Central all week. I thank the Lord for that opportunity to do that. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity that we've had to connect with people of all different cultures and demographics. I pray that over the days ahead, the months ahead, that this church would begin to reflect more and more the demographics to which we find ourselves in. And when that happens, we're going to see people of Muslim background finding faith in Jesus, finding hope in Jesus. We'll find lots of Indians and Africans and people from Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan, refugees, finding hope and healing in and through this community of faith. Now that might cause some to get a little bit furious and a little bit uncomfortable, but so be it. And I pray that that would happen in the months ahead in this church. I wonder if you're ready for that. I wonder if you're ready to truly reflect the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God through this church. And we see it already, right? We see some diversity through this community of faith. But I believe that's going to happen more and more. And in fact, if we want to be effective as a church, then we're going to need to be able to connect that message of Jesus, of freedom in Jesus, to a diverse community. Praise the Lord. There's one thing it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The first verse says that we are God's co-workers. In Philippians 1, it says that we partner with Jesus, that we're partners of the gospel. And I wonder whether you would choose to partner with Jesus in the work of reconciliation and freedom from oppression, the work of the Salvation Army, really. Would you partner with Jesus in doing that work? And, you know, that can fly in the face of popular opinion about, say, refugees, say, same-sex marriages, I guess, and people who have been isolated. That might fly in the face of what the community, some would say, but we need to be a church that brings reconciliation to all people and freedom. And I wonder whether you would partner with Jesus in that work. That doesn't mean we compromise what we believe, but it means that we create a community that is all-inclusive of all people in order that actually they might hear about Jesus and find themselves changing and altering their life to be more reflective of what Jesus would have for their life. Praise the Lord.